The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinkers, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Yeah, probably there's a good reason for that, right? But it was some event last night. I'm not sure we can call what we saw in Ottawa a football match per se, but considering the conditions, I thought the players were quite amazing. I'm surprised they weren't hitting the deck more than they were, but the slide tackles are going in, looked like a ton of fun. And Dubsy, let me ask you, I mean, would that be fun once you get over the cold?
Yeah.
All right, and those extreme conditions, I imagine. And then remove the fact that it's a bloody final and there's so much riding on it. It's probably a fair bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a blast. But I mean, once that snow started to accumulate, you mentioned it, it wasn't soccer. Both Tommy and Ottawa's coach were talking about the fact that it was more spectacle than it was, you know, both teams showcasing their brand of football that they played all year. So you throw that out the window. And what is that distilled down to? And like something, so I'm going to shift gears. So yes, it's fucking fun. It's great. But it's a final. Do you want to be removing all of the elements that got you to the final due to the conditions, you know, of this most important event? Like everything is culminated for this moment and you're playing in conditions where you can't really lean on your strengths. So for me, player safety, right? Like, so playing in snow, fine. You snowplow the lines, you make sure that the referees can do their jobs, the players have their bearings and their wits about them. But then when all of that snow was on the pitch, like I don't understand. Like, I mean, they're lucky, I think, that somebody didn't get injured. And I wonder too, I was thinking about this after the fact, I was talking to JP about it, because he was involved in player unions with the AHL and the East Coast Hockey League during his hockey career, his professional hockey career. And he asked me about the NSL game, the semifinal between Toronto and Montreal that was supposed to take place at York Lion Stadium, kickoff at 2 p.m. And that did not go off. That's going to happen Monday, 6 p.m. And I'm at a hotel right now looking at the snowfall outside. So fingers crossed that that's happening. So I wonder if the professional players union was consulted. So it ends up being, yes, it was fun. Yes, it was very cool to see a different team win, two different teams in that final other than Forge. And I think in the last 4 years, you've seen different winners. So that's great for the league. And I think the exposure of playing in a Canadian league and playing in snow, and I mean, the reverberations of that, I think, were felt worldwide, like Sky Sports, Fox Sports, like people retweeting it and like plugged into it, whether you're an influencer or a pundit or like one of these big broadcast entities. That's great for the league. But was it great for the players? And I worry that that was not a consideration in the decision making to go forward with it.
Craig, there's so many angles here. As Dubs mentioned there, you know, it wasn't football, but I wonder if the brass at the CPL are thinking to themselves, yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't a great showcase for our talent, but the BBC had it on their front page. Mm-hmm. Reuters had it. Fox, Men in Blazers, every football company out there was talking about the fact that this crazy game happened, and not just a crazy game, but a crazy game with one of the worldies of all time.
Oh my goodness.
In that first half. Mm-hmm. In fact, even the second goal was a great goal. Mm-hmm. In those conditions, it makes it even more miraculous, quite honestly. But do you think the CPL are like, yeah, okay, ideally you're playing in great conditions, you can see how good these players and teams are, but we're not getting coverage on BBC or Reuters unless that happened last night?
I don't think that they knew that that was going to happen, to be honest with you. I think it just sort of was a byproduct of it. There's probably more to go about, well, we got a final here, and what happens if we call this off? Where do we place it? Where do we reschedule? And then from TV point of view, is there space for it to be put on again? There's all these different challenges. But they have more eyeballs on that from social media standpoint than they've had for the entire other seven or six finals they've ever had. The exposure is massive for the league. It was absolutely everywhere on social media. So from that standpoint, it's a slam dunk win for the league. I mean, I found it very intriguing. I actually just watched it because there was so much snow. Like, it was fun. It was fun to see
how after some out. Dark web probing or prodding. Sorry.
Yeah. Two yeah. very different things.
Not probing. No. Not probing. Prodding. We were all texting, and Craig's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to sign in. I have to say, super enjoyable to watch, super memorable. I don't care if it was what you guys would consider soccer, football or not. It was so much fun. And once again, going back to the media, good on CPL. I hope they consulted and the players were all in. Mm-hmm. They had a great crowd in Ottawa. I just tried to look it up. I couldn't find it.
13,000, I think it was.
Nice. So the same as Forge a couple of years ago.
And sorry, Wonger, if I could just interject. Some of the supporters in like the long break before the extra time where they took the 40 minutes to clear the pitch. I was texting with Jimmy a little bit after. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, this must have been crazy to call. He agreed. I wonder why they didn't do that at halftime. Like, why did you wait until the end of the game to do that? Anyway, that's a whole other conversation, but there were a couple of fans and like some of them are footy primers and they shared on socials that they went to an arena and I don't know if it was on Lansdowne Park, like part of those grounds, and they like deked into like a, like, I don't know if it's a beer league or like a competitive match, but they were in the stands and they shared photos of themselves during that 40 minute period, like just taking in this hockey game. And then they returned to TD Place for extra time. So, I mean, hats off to those supporters because those people. Yeah,
if they had gone and gotten a beaver tail and a poutine, then they would have done that. They would have had every check mark on the list almost.
Although from the images I saw in that extra time, I think a lot of those fans didn't return.
Oh,
yeah, that was, you see it, unfortunately. But yeah, well, I mean, what do you want?
It was.
I mean, okay, I'm so torn here because I'm thinking Craig, because Craig and I were talking back and forth in the dark web and thinking, what are they doing? Like, geez, they played 90 minutes in these conditions. Just play another half an hour. But I guess if you can at least play half an hour on semi-playable conditions, that's better, I guess, than the really a farce that the previous 90 minutes were. I think that's probably what the CPL were thinking. We'll talk to them, we'll find out. But I think that's probably what the mindset was. Man, listen, it's a goddamn final. Let's try and play some football. Mm-hmm. But I wonder from an athlete standpoint how they were feeling. You're cooling down, what they were doing in that hour-long break or however long it was to stay warm, to keep those muscles warm, because, man, we've all done that before. You see, I sit down for 5 minutes and my muscles tighten up. Can't imagine an hour after all that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. Like, obviously, I've never played in snowy conditions like that. I've played in snow. I've played in, you know, torrential rain at the Olympics where we went back into the locker rooms, thought the game was going to get called off. We had to go back after an extended break. The first time we ever beat China at a tournament in Australia, the lights went out and then there was like a hour's delay and we came back and you're just trying to stay warm and you don't always have the facilities. Like for the Olympics, we had like the luxury of having like indoor gym and like turf where we could take a break and then you kind of get your warm up done and get touches on the ball before we went outside. But they don't have that at TD Place, or maybe like that's where the edge goes to Ottawa because they might have that as the home team, but the away team doesn't have that. But going to the panel and listening to Jimmy and Jordan talk about it as like former players and like what you'd be doing, they're like, oh, I'd be in the shower and like you get into your second strip. And obviously they have all that. But the worst thing for me would be removing my cleats. So you obviously have a secondary pair. You've got, you know, your six studs. You've got like another pair of just like your regular boots. But then like your feet at that point, like you're removing your socks, you're removing all of your stuff. And then like to get all that stuff back on again, like that would be hard. And then it's almost like you have to adapt to the elements again with your tools, which are your boots, but also your feet and how they feel after they're freezing cold. You probably have lost sensation. They're warming back up. There's probably some swelling. And then you're cramming them back into boots, which I wore like so small, which is why I always lost my toenails. So like that's a consideration. But I just wanted to add, clearing the field, yes, it allows them to play kind of whatever, some, you know, what resembles soccer. Does that Rodriguez goal happen if they choose to not clear the field.
No chance.
Right? It does not. And like, I think going back to the eyeballs and all of the people that were tuned into it, yes, it's very Canadian and look at what they're doing in CPL. But like the quality, like the worldy of that bicycle kick, which I think somebody coined as the icicle kick. And that's very, very clever. And I'm quite angry that I didn't come up with it myself.
BBC, I believe.
Dubs gets envious about certain things. Whoever's like, out there who coined that.
I kind of get like hot under the collar is like, and rage both at the same time. Like furious I didn't come up with it, but also like, oh, wow.
That's you can claim it if you want.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to. No, I can't. Yours. But if the quality on the goals aren't what they are, does it get the same reach? You know, no. If it's like shit football and it's nil-nil and it's got to go to penalties, it just doesn't happen. So I think Forrest is right with that. I don't think they predicted or the CPL could have predicted that it was going to have the eyeballs on it and the reach and kind of the traction that it ended up getting. But it's due to Rodriguez and his brace and the quality of those goals.
It's a perfect ice storm, isn't it, really, in that regard? Because the BBC and Reuters are thinking, wow, look at this crazy Canadian weather, and they're playing soccer in this, playing football in this, and then, oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't get the same play if not for the icicle kick.
But I got to ask both Amy and Craig, football is football is football. Like, sports is sports is sports. You train to do these things as a – look, you're not used to the conditions – but you're still up. Everyone's on the same playing field, same ice rink as they were last night. You're competing against another player, another team, another club, and their fans. This is still sports, and that's what I thought was so brilliant about it. And yes, of course, you couldn't line this up to go, oh, it's going to go viral. But even we talked about it off camera, Sharms. Would we have been as enthusiastic and texting as much and dark webbing it as much had it not been like this?
Made that into a verb.
Yeah.
Webbing.
I did. I'm dark webbing it. That's also, never mind. I'll leave that alone.
Yeah, you
leave
that alone.
We wouldn't have, and going back to the whole world, the whole world's media picked this up. I got to read a quote from VP of marketing from Canada Soccer, who I'm going to put this up on the screen and then blow it up a little bit for me. In minutes, the CPL final begins, and tomorrow NSL semis, not a single story on Sportsnet about our national soccer leagues. Sorry, Sharms, I know you're working for them.
So. I know, but be quiet here.
The unity we all experienced during the Blue Jays World Series run was in part due to all the Canadian media outlets amplifying the stories of players/team and why it matters to our country. They chose country instead of prioritizing just the rights they own. Imagine the power of sport if we all rode in the same direction. So I found that quite interesting because we all know where soccer ranks in Canada. We're familiar with the numbers. But what I found interesting was it's the first time I'd seen a Canada soccer exec kind of intimate, hey, you're not covering us enough. You're not doing your part. Sports channel, whatever sports channel you are. And I even said in our dark web, when I was dark webbing this morning, I said washing in, but wading in to unknown territory. I think this is one of the first times that a executive from Canada Soccer is actually, it's not a call out, but it's close, right?
What's like cool it was,
yeah, but it was still a nice call out, right?
Because yeah,
it was before the match. It was before the match and so yeah, they can say, oh,
they don't give a shit. They do not give a toss.
Craig Forrest says to Paolo Senra, welcome to the chat.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the chat.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They tried
to destroy the league. They tried to destroy the one soccer or Media Pro, which they actually were successful doing. Media Pro, anyway. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones that have ever invested in this sport here. Rogers, Bell, not a penny. Not a fucking penny. They're against it. There is powers. Remember when Ange talked about Australia and there's certain powers behind certain sports that make it very difficult for football to succeed in Australia as well as it does? Well, we got that here too. Sportsnet, Rogers own the baseball team. They're going to push that. Push it. Make it seem like it's a really like a world event. There's nothing world about the World Series, like I've said before. And then with hockey, they put millions, billions in investment into hockey. People in the States, soccer has already overtaken it as number four, but you will not get Western media talking about that. It's still put NHL, NHL, NHL. It's like Premier League's more popular than NHL in the United States. You'll never hear that. League MX is more popular. MLS is actually the third most popular league in the United States. You're not going to have anybody talk about that on mainstream media. So they're not going to do anything about it. They don't care about it. They've been mandated not to talk about it. They bring in charmers every once in a while to, you know, well, we are a sport. We are called Sportsnet. There's nothing
I'm going to go for a coffee.
Sportsnet. It's a hockey net, baseball net, a little bit of curling, a little bit of tennis maybe. That's it. I worked for them for 18 years. I know exactly what they're about.
Charles, what's your response?
Paolo, when I put my requests in this week for Canada training, please don't take it.
Yeah.
Don't hold it against me. Please.
This is brilliant.
It's the nature of the media business in this country, and it's always been an uphill battle. We know that. That's why independents like ourselves and there's others are important, and mm-hmm. how the media landscape's changing so much. We saw in England a podcaster, a blogger got the rights to the German Bundesliga on Fridays. It is switching, it's changing, but yes, also very frustrating still. Of course it is. You wonder what's going to happen at the World Cup next year. Everyone's going to be aboard that bandwagon for sure. But it's still a long way from
first thing we'll figure out how they can do as little as they possibly can.
Craig, I just put your name forward.
No, did you? Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
It's like when Jimmy talks about TFC and he stays very quiet.
Yeah.
Speaking of TFC, you see the backdrop here in my hotel at Maple Leaf Square?
Well, describe it.
Right, for our audio listeners. So I was on a FaceTime with my husband, JP, and my kids, and he's like, where are you? And what's the artwork behind you? And it's presumably a TFC player, not Jimmy, because he's wearing something on the bottom. He's wearing underwear or shorts. And doing a push-up on TFC-branded soccer balls. Which is interesting.
Are they is that the Jabulani ball? I think it is, too, from 2010.
Well, I'm just thankful I can't see his Jabulani.
Oh, Jabulani.
Jabulani. Jabulani. Okay, back to the CPL final. Craig, have you finished, Craig? Have you finished destroying my career?
Yeah, I look forward to getting a call from Sportsnet for the World Cup. I'll be working for the World Feed. People outside the borders of Canada think I'm worth being part of the World Feed for FIFA. Awesome. People in Canada, they don't have a fucking clue what they're doing. They don't know me from some CPL player. So there you go.
We love you.
We do.
That's what I mean. Hey, we started this to try to fill a gap because we were hoping to give a little bit more influence and exposure to Canadian soccer everywhere.
6 years ago, I think we have. We can hold our heads up high. Back to the game. Diego Mejia has upset a lot of people this year. The coach for Atlético, whatever. A lot of people. Even more so than Craig in the last 5 minutes. He's upset so many people across Canadian soccer circles.
What's your phone number again, Craig? So Sportsnet can call you.
but I guess he's validated now that they won the game. I mean, how are the coaches honestly feeling? How does Tommy Wilden Jr. feel? He's obviously, you saw him post-match, he looked gutted. You understand that, defending champs, getting so close. But you lose this way in these conditions. It isn't football. You still rate your team. It's fair to say that Ottawa should be given the mantle as best team in Canada. They won the cup, even though Forge won the league. They won the cup. They got a lovely berth into the Champions Cup, which is huge. Four teams now from Canada, by the way, for next year. That's superb. But how does the Tommy Wilden Jr. assess this, do you think, Dubs, this morning? He's a smart guy, Tommy, and I really feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really hold anything against the way your team played, the way they played. This is one of those crazy situations.
Yeah, and I think a team that has done so well, and they had a really uneven, some might even argue poor start to the season. And again, you end up in that final, and it's that birth into that continental play is right there at your fingertips. And this is a team that's done very, very well, right, in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So I think you, like your Tommy, you're measured. I think you take a step back when he's ready to take a look at what his team has accomplished. And I think you've got the pieces there to be a contender again next year. You keep building. Like I use that word deliberately because we've talked about Tommy. We've talked about, what's his name, for Bobby Smyrniotis for Forge. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to be dismissive. That's not dismissive of Bobby at all. It just went out of my head. And what they've done for Canadian soccer, not only, for the CPL to give it that thrust, to give it that relevance, but what they've done in those respective markets for development. And the game, and he will continue to do that. Then obviously the peak of the pyramid is Cavalry. And I mean, what they're he's so integral to that community, and he's so important for that community. But for the team, I think they'll just get right back at it and figure out what that missing piece was. But again, he might be feeling a little bit salty. And that's not a double entendre with Sam Salter. It's not, because they came so close, and maybe he's feeling like, you know, you have a game that not only will give you the title, but where that birth into the CONCACAF Champions Cup is on the line, and it's decided in those conditions. I think he's probably feeling that this morning as well.
Yeah, it'll hurt a little bit for sure. But I mean, like you said, the season didn't go smoothly for them with injuries and different other things, aspects of it, to manage to come and beat Forge on their turf and get to the final was a success in itself. And then the final, well, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, we know how they can go, but overall, tremendous. But he's a winner, and he hates losing, and he puts that pressure on the players and wants them to perform at a certain level.
Is Craig frozen?
I think he's frozen. He might be. And I was just going to ask him. I was going to follow up what he was saying there to ask his opinion of the goalkeeping.
I was just doing despite you and I think too similar. You know that.
You know me and other way. Me and you, Shams. Is he back?
No. It looks different if you have it mirrored or not. So people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I always point the wrong way.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, Dan Wong.
It's not your angled finger. It's not that at all.
Right. Just cool it on the dark webbing. No,
put it away.
Forrest, I was going to ask you about, despite the conditions, the quality of the goalkeeping that we saw both from Carducci, but also our own, I say our own. I have a soft spot for All-State Nate, or Nate the Great, as I
remember. He is our own, although Marco's a friend.
Marco's been on a couple
of friends of the show, but soft spot for me for Nate. And really pleased to see him get the win there and for that team. But his performance and some of the saves that he came up with, like, huge for Atletico.
Yeah. No, both of them did very well. They dealt with the situation quite well. And it isn't easy, especially if anything's bouncing in front of you. You know, the inconsistency of that bounce, it could stay low, it could go high. It's not the normal bounce you're going to see on the turf, which usually is very consistent. Very skippy, so you have to be very careful about what you do, and obviously talking to your back line and keeping possession at the right moments or not, and those areas. I think they dealt with that pretty well. I think both teams did, to be honest with you.
The images of Nate shoveling snow,
and then
coming over the top and punching the ball clear, then getting down and making the save late in the last seconds of the match as well. That's Nate right there.
People didn't see it either. He built a snowman. And it was like the 12th player in the corner.
I made the save. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we're all happy for Nate because Nate's been one of the faces of the league since day one. He's a brilliant guy on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for him to finally get that championship. I don't know if anyone deserves it more, quite honestly. So we'll get him on very, very soon. I hope Nate's really hungover right now. I was going to give him a text this morning. I thought I'll wait a little bit. He's probably hungover. And if he's not, Come on, Nate. What the hell
are you doing? Well, Nate's a bar guy. He was probably whipping up some dope cocktails for everybody.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he probably was.
Although getting an early,
sure they were delicious.
There's nothing worse than getting an early tweet from or early text from Sharms like, "Hey, how's it going?" No one wants a 9:15 text from you.
Well, I thought about doing it last night, but I thought, you know what? He was here. I won the cup, and 1,000 texts came in at once. You know, I'm gonna wait.
Wait, we support each other. People,
you want to feel important. I'm glad it's about you.
Yeah, he does. That's it.
Right now, I do. Especially, the phone wasn't ringing.
People don't realize how much we support each other at Footy Prime. Just in our stupidity on the dark web, we're literally giving each other props. If someone's, we also call each other out all the time. So it's actually, it's real. I think it's really healthy. And I think one time I shared, you know, if you can't, one of the, you know, hey, if you have conversations where you're calling your friends names and swearing at them, those are healthy. So I think we've created sometimes a little toxic, but usually a situation here.
There were at least 4 texts about Jimmy Brennan last night with eggplant emojis beside them. So that should say everything. Jimmy,
Jimmy
was freezing. Well, I did one of them. JC definitely did one as well.
Okay.
And there's some others making the rounds.
It
there.
Gradually went from eggplant down to pea pod.
It was that cold. Yeah.
The pea pod with only 2 pea pods in it.
The panel were great actually because they haven't to fill so much time, you know, in those conditions. I give them credits. Yes, come on. Thank God
keep it's stretching.
Andy
because
no one better. Petrillo did a great job. Looked great too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to say though, sorry, about Nate, just to put a bow on that, Canadian heritage moment, I think, of him shoveling. Because I don't think it was performative. That was actually, if you know Nate, like that was him just kind of getting stuck in. And then also, if you're a goalkeeper, I'll ask Nate this if he comes on. I know they're clearing the lines to make sure, even though they didn't do like the full snow removal of the pitch until after normal time. But I wonder if like a goaltender in hockey where you do like the, you kind of clear your crease and you make like a little bit of a, like a snow build near your line to try to prevent goals or like doing your utmost there, a little bit of shithousery. I wonder if Nate, because you talked about building a snowman, if he was like strategically making sure that there was snow like behind him near his lines, so if there was like a little trickler that maybe he'd get some help from the snow.
Yeah, pile it up next to the posts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'd be silly not to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Didn't Tommy try that a little bit of gamesmanship? He kept his subs off the bench to start the match in the locker room so they stayed warm.
Oh, yes.
Ottawa brought attention to it, to the ref, and they had to bring them back on.
Yeah, and the argument was that they did it during the Club World Cup when it was really hot. So, hey, it's cold. What's the difference? I'm going to let my subs stay in the dressing room. And then, yeah, there were some complaints. And then they had to haul them back out onto the bench.
It just adds good to effort. It's a good rivalry now, right? Because Messi has been at them, you know, all year saying we're the greatest team to ever play the game. And that includes the 2011 Barcelona. He didn't say that. but that's, I like it. I like, you know what? I think you need to have that big, bad, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a villain.
The villain, Christ, it's not a hard word to think of.
A villain.
Because, I mean, the Forge have been the dominant team, having four championships, right? But they're never seen, for me, as a villain. They're always quite likable.
Oh.
And I think May has made Ottawa a little bit unlikable, which is good for the league and building rivalries.
It absolutely is. I agree with you.
So that bodes next year, you know, Quebec coming into the fold. That's really good. York's interesting, right? Isn't he? They could be moving and changing
name.
A lot of noise about another name change for York United FC. So we'll see. Inter Toronto's been is the scuttlebutt.
And playing downtown somewhere?
Maybe Lamport, I think, is an option anyway. Obviously, needs a lot of work done to it, but they
Dubs, were you at Lamport yesterday?
What's
no, you're at York Lions. No, were you up there?
York Lions.
Yeah, no, I was at Dome.
Oh, you're at Dome, right?
But yeah, but you're about you tried to do a broadcast from York Lions Stadium, but
correct.
As mentioned, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. That's being played today, but on Saturday, Vancouver beat Ottawa on penalties, and my God, I don't know how Ottawa's feeling the day after. Man, they had it in the palms of their hands on more than one occasion. At 2-0, it was theirs, and then on penalties, it was theirs right there.
Yeah,
and in the end, Vancouver rise above.
They were not going to be denied.
They were not, were they? Great drama, Dubs.
Yeah, it really was. We were talking about it, Sigs and I, on the call. It's theater, right? And after they were poor in the first leg, Vancouver were really dominant at home at Swangard, but they only came away with the 2-1 kind of edge, whereas mm-hmm. they could have easily come into the second leg as the away team with 3 goals on them because Ottawa were that bad in that first half. And they kind of came to life, and you always have the singular brilliance of a DB Pridham. So that goal that she scored against the run of play at Swangard, I mean, and that was against kind of Latifa Abdu for Vancouver, who got the brace for them. And that was a brilliant performance. But for DB Pridham to do that, the type of move, she got a ball on the right flank, went at the defender, went around one, and then brought it inside to her right foot, and then buried it. And Nigel and I were on the call, and that feels like an eternity ago. That's a week ago tomorrow. And we thought it was in a side netting. And we sounded like homers, like we were going for Vancouver, right? Because there was very little excitement, very little enthusiasm on the call, but we just really didn't think it was in. And then we see DB's reaction. But like, that was a really critical moment to make sure that her team was competitive, that they had a shot. They stayed within it. And then they come back home, and it was really evenly contested. So kind of back and forth. But again, I think Ottawa happy to give the ball to Vancouver, but Vancouver and the way that they have attacked are so fluent going forward. And it's been an attack by committee, but it's really been led by the duo of Jess DiFilippo and Latifa Abdu. And like, there was the drama there mid-season coming over from the Roses to Vancouver Rise, but then Holly Ward as that left winger, and then Lisa Pachursky as the right winger. And then she's got like bags of talent and versatility. She gets moved to left back, and then you had the two of them in that left flank, Pachursky and Ward. And Ward is just tireless. Like, she bulldozes you with pace. She can dribble around you. She's like one of these old school wingers. And I think she had like 7 or 8 shots on frame. So you think like, okay, again, like they've had these opportunities and they're going to have to bury it. But like, a real masterclass, I thought, by the two Danish coaches, like Katrina Peterson first in the way that she substituted. She brought Mel Forbes in. So DB Pridham opens the scoring in the first half on a set piece on a corner kick. They kind of bully it over the line. Beat McCaslin there, who got a paw to it, but you just had too many players around it. So they're leading 1-0 going into half. And then a couple of minutes into the second half, Mel Forbes is inserted into the game as a winger, and she gets the goal. So they're 2-0 up, and that's it. Like, they've got the edge on aggregate. And then Vancouver keeps pushing, and like, they towed that line between patience and urgency, where like, they weren't getting too open throwing bodies forward, but they kept their foot on the gas. And then I think the misstep by Peterson for Ottawa was to make some subs, go more defensive. They went to a back five, and in a 5-3-2, they lost the battles in the midfield. That's something that they did better in the second leg, is like, they were first to those, knockdowns and like second balls. They were just more present for the battles. And then they lost that edge then. And then 85th minute, who else but Holly Ward, off a great cross from Mariah Lee, who was herself a substitute. So managed really well by Anya Heiner-Moller. And she made 2 key substitutions that were clearly for Pens, but they both scored. And Nadia Sawan and Sophia Hagman, who got the winner on a fucking rocket. So I loved the quality of the penalties. And then Holland could have won it on the 5th because Ottawa were perfect up until that point. Holland misses, but it's a credit to McCaslin for the Vancouver Rise, the goalkeeping. She saves it, but it's poorly struck. Julia Benatti, also inserted late into the game for Ottawa, again has a chance to win, and then saved again by McCaslin. And then that pendulum swings, and then Hagman has the winning goal on her foot. Lefty, like, screamer right under the bar. Dajna, the goalkeeper for Ottawa, who was brilliant. Like, she was spectacular on the day. She came up with so many saves that kept them in the game, notably on Holly Ward, another kick save on Jess DiFilippo. So it's just, again, it was box office. It's exactly what you want kind of a decisive game to be about. But Ottawa obviously devastated, and then elation for Vancouver Rise, who win the right to go to BMO Field on November 15th.
Who was it again? She picked the corner. She scored the penalty.
Yeah.
But it was so slow. I wondered at point what
that was Sawan.
That was, well, Sawan. Okay.
Yeah. It was almost like a reverse pass. Penalty. No.
It was well placed because it was right at the corner. But mm-hmm. like, honestly, it's like, is the keeper going to react and get back and save it? It was so slow.
Well, it wasn't that slow, but I know what you mean, that it wasn't hit with power.
No, but it wasn't even finessed.
She almost
like a mishit.
Yeah, it was almost a Sharms off the spot.
Yeah, scuff.
Yeah, total scuff.
Off the shin.
Came very close, but it, like, credit to her because it was brave.
It's called a Sharms.
It's a Sharms.
Even though I've never done it before in my life, I assume I would do it, right? That's the ridiculousness of it.
But that was crucial for them, right? For that to go in. And that was one of the only ones, I think. So Dajna dives to her left or goes to her left and kind of watches it. And it just must have been like a gut punch for her to watch that trickle over the line.
As the founding member of the DB Pridham fan club, are you okay?
Listen, I am a DB Pridham fan. And I was a fan of Ottawa and their brand of football, but I'm equal measures, equal parts, a fan of the Vancouver Rise, just peaking at exactly the right moment.
Pick a team, Dubs.
I am not. I want coverage.
I know. So, do you think the league, is Diana, assuming, I mean, listen, assume nothing. Yeah. Toronto's not there yet. Let's not even go there. I'll ask that question on Thursday or when we're on next. Okay.
Yeah. But they're 2-0 up going into this.
Yeah. I know.
Match tonight. Chance.
But Vancouver, Toronto, I'm sure Dan is happy about that from a business standpoint, but we won't discuss that until Toronto actually get there.
Mm-hmm. But it should be mentioned, if Toronto do end up making it there, but again, that's not decided because the Roses will have something to say about it. They are 0-2 this season at BMO Field. They lost their season opener to the Roses 1-0, and then they lost to a 10-player Vancouver Rise team at BMO. Filippo scored, and they had like the barrage of, you know, chances and offensive kind of thrust at the end. They couldn't score, so 0-2. So that's a big narrative going in as well. If they were to make it,
they're due.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There's the other side of the coin.
They can't lose three straight at BMO. There's no chance.
No.
Yeah. Good weekend though, football, like, domestically. It's brilliant. MLS. All right, Craig, you enjoy this one. Minnesota. They beat Seattle in one of those insane shootouts. Dane St. Clair gets to take one. And it's always one of the great things in football, isn't it, when you see the keeper step up. And he said it's one of his, I think it's his first penalty since he's like a kid, 12, 13 years of age. And he even did a stutter. And he scored. It was brilliant. I loved it. Then he makes saves. In the end, they go into, what was it, 7-6, I think it was?
Yeah.
7-6, yeah.
What a crazy game.
And the other keeper.
Kevin Friend, like, Yang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas comes in, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And Craig's frozen at just the wrong time. All about Craig now.
But the keeper also, the other keeper, sorry, for Seattle, like blonde guy, he was going crazy Andrew against Thomas. The fans. Thank you. He was swearing at the fans. Mm. It's quite, if you.
Those are Sharms' two middle names, by the way. Andrew Thomas.
Well, one of them.
So he was
just roll with that. I'm making shit up.
Clearly. He was substituted in for Fry.
Right. Yeah. But his kick went off the top. The top bar, right?
It hit the crossbar. It hit the crossbar. I don't think it's come down since. It might have gone in the end.
Laugh at the old man. Just laugh at the old man, Dubs.
The top post.
Crumb bar.
Yeah, that was only the start of it. I mean, Seattle went up 2-0 early. Mm. And then there was a red card in Minnesota on a headbutt. I think it was 2-1 at halftime. They ended up being 3-2 up Minnesota somehow. And then Seattle then scored late to take it into penalty kicks, which went straight into penalty kicks. And then, yeah, you see that go on. And Seattle had two opportunities to win the game in penalty shootouts. Both of them smashed off the post, one off the crossbar. And then it keeps going. And then next thing you know, Dane's taking a penalty, which he rips in. And then the other goalkeeper crashes his off the crossbar and is over. So really the whole series, if you take look at it all, Seattle dominated all three games. Not maybe dominated all three, but certainly we're the better team, I would say, over the three games. And Minnesota don't play a particularly great brand of football, but enough to get through. They sit back. They try to soak up pressure, hit teams on the fast break. But here we are. They've actually managed to do it and into the next round.
Can I, the MLS kind of roundup on it for for the three-game elimination about Minnesota, they said they advanced from round one without winning a game in regulation time. They're beaten 7-5 on aggregate, lost the XG battle 7.21 to 2.89, and never led, not for a single second. Set pieces, long throw-ins, and Dane St. Clair, though.
That is crazy, those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. Seattle be kicking themselves.
You wouldn't get that with a best of two aggregate, would you? Best of three is the best thing ever. So you would. Yeah. You get these.
You aggregates. Would.
Of course, yes. You bloody would.
I do want to ask Gregor, what does this do for Dane St. Clair's confidence? He's just won MLS Keeper of the Year. He's now actually led his team, like you could almost say he led his team through this victory and into the next round with the, like, being such a integral part, not only on the keeper side, but scoring that goal. Mm-hmm. Like, he must be flying right now, especially with, like, I would assume Jesse Marsh, he'll get the start against Ecuador, right?
Well, certainly, yeah. You talk about his confidence, he'll be sky high. And I think he's rather a confident individual at the best of times, even when things aren't going well. He's very confident in his own ability. So this is going to only help. And good on him winning a goalkeeper of the year. That's a great individual award. And then to do this with his team and manage to get through Seattle. And I'm not sure how far they'll go from here on in, but I think they're playing with house money at this point.
Miami smashed Nashville in the end. Messi just does it again. Two goals. Get things off and running there. And then that first goal, that is the Messi goal, isn't it? How many times have we seen that? Just slicing through the middle, top of the box, sliding it past the keeper. How many times? I mean, I went through every one of Messi's goals last night, ever. And 98% of his goals were the exact same goal. It was that goal. Again,
99.9% it works 60% of the time.
Right. 60% of stats are made up.
Ain't that the truth? But yeah, I mean, just typical Messi getting it done. They did it without Suarez, who was suspended.
Imagine.
How are we going to remember Suarez? I mean, as the filthy brilliance or brilliant filth?
Rat man.
That's right. Yeah. Most fantastic players, really, of his generation, and also an absolute scumbag at times.
One of the dirtiest players.
Yeah.
In this era, right?
Brilliant filth. Yeah, for sure.
Because you used to get the hard men who are known as being filthy and dirty, right? And you don't really get them as much anymore. But he's one. He's old school. But he's also brilliant.
Yeah, but you know what? As somebody who was kind of old school, like enforcer, blue collar myself, and that was part of my calling card. There's a difference between being hard nosed and being a fucking asshole and dirty. Spitting
and biting, you mean?
Yes, because you can you can even like categorize dirty player. Like you can maybe be a bit reckless, be known for like leaving a stud, getting somebody when the referee's not looking with like a chop or something, you know. But or like scraping down their Achilles with your stud, like all of the dark arts moves. But then when you get into spitting and like pushing older men on the field, like, like that's just, it's a different category.
Yeah.
It's like a deplorable. Can we make it?
Didn't Hillary Clinton call Trump's gang the deplorables?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can jump on that a little bit. The deplorable.
We could have like a category that's footballing deplorables. Yeah, like Suarez is in there.
He is, Dubs, but he also had those years at Liverpool, didn't he?
I know. So that's why it's the word I'm looking for. It's a complicated legacy.
Yeah, we're conflicted in just how deplorable he is. Because he was deplorable during that time.
That's clear. He's deplorable.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess you're right. Because
but he's also a brilliant footballer.
Racist abuse and also while the Liverpool player. So yeah, not a great human being on the pitch. But I remember the goals too, especially against Norwich. He seemed to score like hat-tricks against Norwich every single time, didn't he?
I just saw him in an infomercial where he said, I'm not just a member. I'm the founder of the deplorables.
I hear he's also pushing reverse mortgages too.
Yes,
No, that's Tom Selleck. Sorry.
No, that's him too. I think he's doing the Spanish one.
He's doing payday loan companies.
Right. 50-year mortgages.
That's right. $3 on a hun, Charms. $3 on a hun.
But is Suarez kind of like one of those musicians who's completely disgraced? because they've done something completely horrible, like a Michael Jackson or a Gary Glitter, perhaps. But you still love their music and they still play them on the radio and they're still never not going to play them, but they're pieces of shit. And oops, sorry, in real life.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as calling Suarez a pedophile.
Right. Okay. Maybe bad example,
but I know what you're saying. I mean, but you don't hear much Gary Glitter these days, in fairness.
No, you don't.
But Michael Jackson, he was a king of pop. I mean, come on. After all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you have to, I parse it and I'm like, oh, until 1986, I can listen to Michael Jackson. Yeah. And then after that, I'm like, oh, I can't listen to this song. It's almost like my Mel Gibson racist rant. So I can't watch him anymore. My Will Smith punch Chris Rock. It's hard for me to watch them on TV now because I've lost so much respect for such weakness and openness in people. And that's how you, anyways. Suarez,
would Ozzy be the better comparison? Sorry,
pardon me?
Ozzy bit the head of a bat, didn't he?
No, he did not.
He didn't?
No.
Was that a myth?
I think it was.
Was it someone else?
Yeah, it was Alice Cooper ate a chicken. No.
I know Alice Cooper had a chicken thrown on stage in Detroit and he picked it up and threw it back into the audience.
Oh, okay.
And they tore it to shreds.
But Ozzy Osbourne did
bite Ozzy ate a bat.
Yeah. Yes. So and we all, I mean, Ozzy's
and we all got COVID.
He's dead now, but we all got COVID.
And he joined the board of a pharma company right after that. He played the long game.
Yeah. So, what are your listeners? What are your thoughts on Luis Suarez? Love him, hate him, or are you just conflicted, given the sins of his past? I mean, he didn't even play this weekend, but here we are, spending 5 minutes talking about him. But he's back for the next match. All right. Premier League this weekend. I'm not sure how much you guys got to watch, given you're all very, very busy people watching Canadian soccer. But Arsenal dropped points. First time they hadn't won in 10 games. First time they had conceded in 8 games, Sunderland, who might be the story, Craig, so far in the Prem, promotion club, playing great, well, I say great football. It's some pretty ugly football at times. They're awful to play against, man, but it's so effective and unbeaten at home this season. I mean, good for them. What a story they've become.
Great story. From where they've come from, I mean, I didn't see that they would be back. They're kind of like Ipswich a little bit. I was like wondering, it's going to be an awful long time before they ever make their way in the Premier League again. And they've done it brilliantly. And then to, you know, last 2 years, all six teams have gone down, up and down. And here we are with the three this year that are all doing quite well. And Sunderland is just absolutely killing it. So it's good to see. Great to see. Great club.
I have a line, actually, which I know Dubs and Wongo will appreciate. So their manager is Regis Labriss. Is Regis Labriss a cut above? Is he a cut above as a coach?
His uncle is named Moyle.
Regis
Steve
Labriss.
Moyle.
But he's doing a great job at Sunderland.
That's right.
He's and you never see him wearing coach. A turtleneck.
Third different.
Like his national sidelines, of course. Dan Ballard, though, I'm not sure how much you saw. What a game he had. You know, he scored the goal, set up Brian Brobbey, who's now my favorite name in football. Brian Brobbey scored the goal. He had a last second block as well.
Yep.
Dan Ballard doing it all.
And a former, was he a Liverpool academy player?
Was he Liverpool?
Arsenal,
wasn't it?
Arsenal. Sorry.
Yeah, Arsenal, yeah.
Obviously. I don't know why I say Liverpool, yeah.
Going back to against the team that released him all those years ago,
hurting
them. But yeah, brilliant game. I'll give them in this, and the Gunners still in first place, and they got a ton of injuries as usual. They're missing in this game Victor Gyökeres, Gabriel, Odegaard, Kai Havertz, Madueke, Gabriel Jesus. All year long they've had injuries, but they've found a way. It's still in first place, but they have to be very concerned, Craig, because Man City, who did away with Liverpool and look brilliant doing it this season, aren't that far off right now. And I'm beginning to wonder whether Pep, in his 1,000th game in charge of football, without getting fired yet, which is, think about that, 1,000 games, hasn't been fired. He's kind of turned this team around, it seems, and they are maybe the one to look at once again.
Yeah, they're hungry. And Haaland might end up breaking all records this year. Picked up another one. He scores every game. Champions League, killing it. League, cups. Absolutely incredible specimen. Just, and he's enjoying it. Great character, and it's kind of fun to watch for sure.
So good for the game, isn't he? We discussed it last week. Yeah. The whole Halloween videos. Check out his YouTube channel if you haven't. Erling Haaland is not, if you're a United fan or a Liverpool fan, don't do it, because you really want to hate him. But it's very hard to hate him when you see his YouTube channel.
Yes, true.
I don't recommend that. But yeah, we need characters in the game. We always can whine and complain about too many robots, but he isn't one, and he's just been superb. Is it 13 goals in the season so far? Am I
off there? I don't know what he's up to.
13 or 14.
He's inevitable. 14
and 11, maybe?
Yeah. He's Thanos, is he? He's inevitable?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he has that penalty saved. Mm-hmm. But then again, he's undeterred. Like, he's not going to be stopped. Just the perfect striker. You just forget about it. Slates wiped clean, and then you just keep going. And that opening goal, I felt so bad for Kanate. I actually thought that it was a known goal at first.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, how the physical specimen that Haaland is. Like, he just gets up, and even though it's like a looping header back across the face of goal, I think it catches a slight touch, but he's just always there. He's ever present, always a threat.
Yeah, but Kanate's got a jump, hasn't he, Dubs?
But he did.
Not hardly, though.
Well, too late. I mean, you're against Haaland.
I saw Carragher post-match on Sky. Carragher was hammering Kanate in this match. And that was one, like, I mean, you know he's there. It's freaking Erling Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
Be a bit more aggressive, surely.
Yeah, but I don't think that Haaland gets the credit that he should. I mean, obviously for the goal scoring and the pure kind of finisher that he is, but it's like the subtle things. Like, yes, you're always going to win a header because of how gigantic you are and imposing you are as a like the stature that you have on the pitch. But it's the movement in the box prior to the ball arriving, the position on Kanate. And sure, you can hammer him for it, and he should have been more physically involved even prior to that ball arriving. But I think you give full credit to Haaland there to win that semi-cleanly, and it still finds the back of the net. It's all the little stuff that he's doing before the ball even gets there, the clever movement, the exacting movement in the box. I mean, that you dive a little bit deeper beyond all the stats that are so overwhelmingly impressive. He's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. He's quick, too. He's rapid. Like, when he gets his legs going, boy, oh, boy, out of his feet, he's hard to stop.
He's an athlete. Like, he could have played a lot of different sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some people, you're like, a Messi, he's brilliant and obviously a GOAT, but Haaland, you sit there and you go, this kid could do anything. He could have been this, he could have been that. He's all, you know, I'm always amazed at his speed. Like, to your point, Craig, he broke away from a couple of these guys who are supposed to be, you know, fast defenders, and they didn't even come close to keeping up with him. Very, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of terrifying, right? Because he could have been a Viking.
Yes.
And, like, watch out. Imagine the pillaging he's doing.
What is pillaging? What is that euphemism stealing. For?
I'm not going to go anywhere else. Know the whole association.
Stealing what? Vikings, what is he pillaging. Stealing?
He's stealing food and whatever he wants, basically.
Yeah, he's
be careful. Pillaging, I also think of the terrible R word that we're not supposed to say on YouTube.
Precisely. That's why I'm not mentioning that.
Okay, good.
Okay. I made a point not to. He's stealing land and people's self-respect. That's what he's stealing. if he chose to, he's 6 foot. He's a monster. So thank God he wasn't born. How many years ago would that be? 400? When were the Vikings?
I don't know. Dubs is looking it up. You can hear it tapping.
No, I'm looking.
Two questions.
How many goals?
Find out when the Vikings were around, and also how many goals he has.
He has 14
goals. I can tell you that.
Yeah, he's on 14.
14, 99 overall, right? I think for City. I believe it's 99 and 101.
And he'll be the quickest to 100, I think, in Premier League history.
He's going to smash the records. Shearer.
The start date of the Vikings was June 8th, 793.
Okay, so it was
June 8th, 793. I don't know why it's June the 8th. but it is.
Mm-hmm. That was the day, June the 8th. They got
someone got really drunk and put the horns on the.
Yeah, that was it. The final horn went on there.
And it ended in 1066. It had
the two tubes that come down.
That's right. The beer.
Yeah.
That's when it went downhill when they discovered alcohol.
That's right.
Charms, I wanted to pull up a surprise Wonger's mail sack, if that's okay. Because Dubs earlier talked about bags of talent. So this is one that I just, it hurts to read because it's from Riri 8274. So I think it's
RLRL.
I think it's Rian Wilkinson who's talking about Amy. Be ashamed of yourself. Half of this panel is misogynist, homophobic. I've heard too many comments in these pods leaning that way. Get real. Someone needs to call them out. And then someone responded at Carrie and Seamus. Our friend, Carrie Ryan, laugh out loud, spoken like somebody who has never listened to the pod. So thank you for sending in that amazing comment.
Wow.
Dubs, I'm sorry that you got called out, but we're here to defend you. It's your fault.
How could you not call us out for being homophobics and misogynist?
Misogynist.
Yeah.
Well, do we know what that was referring to?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, no.
But so one of the reasons why I brought it up is because when you're not that, you don't worry about it. So thank you for your comments. Thank you for defending us, Carrie. Not necessary, but thank you. We appreciate your support. But it was one of those ones that I kind of went, why would anyone on this podcast, specifically the one that we were in SiriusXM? So what I think is bot. I think we've been taken over by bots.
I hope so.
And they want to cause issues.
We've made it.
You know,
yeah. Good point.
So, looks like we've made it.
Gotta stop reading the comments.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. She's confounded now.
Now, just to say that's not to say that we're good people.
No.
We never claimed to be.
No, but no. I don't think we're misogynist. Although we've been accused of that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
quite honestly, haven't we?
Yeah,
I don't know. Homophobic. Never been accused of being homophobic. I don't think.
Mm. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, this has been Footy Prime.
I missed you guys.
Yeah, I missed you too, Dubs.
Dubs, you're back.
You're leaving tonight, back home, and then you're back again.
Well, don't jinx it.
Well, hopefully.
I'm on the latest flight leaving Pearson back into Montreal, but 6 p.m. kickoff tonight. So for the second leg of the second semifinal between AFC Toronto at York Lion Stadium versus the Montreal Roses, who are staring down the barrel of a 0-2 deficit on aggregate. So it's going to be a tough hill to climb. And AFC Toronto, our supporter shield winning AFC Toronto. So it's going to be a tough game, but it's what decides the other team in that final, which all of a sudden is this Saturday, November 15th. So let's go.
And there was another heritage moment too with AFC Toronto supporters club, the Vermilion, shoveling up at York Lions. So we saw lots of people doing that. And we just want to say, great for the support, amazing support, Vermilion, and keep doing what you're doing.
When I saw them using chairs to shovel, I thought,
what do you mean?
Well, there's some chairs being used to shovel as a makeshift.
Like flipped shovel. Over kind of the scoopy part of, or like sense. The backrest.
It was very MacGyverish. I was impressed. It made sense. But it's like, if they're using chairs to shovel.
Is there a bomb that was going to go off in 5 seconds?
MacGyver! Was there a piece of celery somewhere?
Quick, give me your chewing gum.
We should also mention that there's a Canada men's game later this week against Ecuador, and we'll be covering that throughout the week. Hopefully get some couple of interviews lined up. But until our next show, which will probably be tomorrow, JC.
Oh, I'm just going to say, I have I got press creds for that show or for that game. So I'll be down in Florida for that game.
Say what?
Oh, I got through Canada Soccer, I got the press creds for that game.
For Venezuela, you mean?
Oh, is that the one? The one that's
I see.
Oh no.
Yeah, that'll be the Venezuela game next week.
Right, that's what I meant.
we'll be doing stuff though, some content throughout the week, including at the matches and maybe training as well. All right, unless Craig's ruined it for us.
Okay, but wait. Right. We will not be back.
Calling out TSN and Sportsnet. Let's
broadcast tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay, good. All right. See, we're misogynists. We didn't remember that.
Yes.
Not good enough. All right. It's Footy Prime, everyone. Jimmy. Jimmy's probably he's definitely hungover.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll return and we'll get his thoughts on just how cold it was doing that panel throughout that match yesterday, that Sunday.
If he were smart, he would have taken like the 1 o'clock flight, right? So you're not rushing with a hangover over to the airport.
It's nothing worse than train. That. I hate that.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Hate that.
The hungover flight is the worst. All right. Until next time, everyone, this is Footy Prime. Like, subscribe, leave comments. Not all of you, some of you. And we'll right. chat later. Bye.
Yeah.
Shame.
Not you, Shame. RL24. You son of a bitch.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
That really bothers me though.
Dubs, it's not real.
I'm like, you jackass. I'm going to think about that for the rest of the day.
Dubs is upset. She wasn't even called a misogynist or a homophobe.
Yeah, we were.
She's really upset.
Yeah. Mention it on the game tonight.
Oh, yeah. How cool.